Man, you guys look good today. Some of you have traveled far, and glad you're here this morning. You are so blessed. We're so blessed to have you. You know, my prayer for you today is that you leave this place different than you came in, that you leave this place refreshed by the Holy Spirit, amen, encouraged, uplifted, praise the Lord. Your life's changed, your mind's changed, amen, amen. God is a faithful, good God to us, amen. I'm going to change scriptures this morning a little bit, but I want us to look over. We're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. Amen? 2 Corinthians 5, 7. And I'm talking to you about the Holy Spirit this morning and the grace of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Hallelujah. God is good and faithful, and I just love you, Lord. Thank you this morning. Look what the Bible says. 2 Corinthians, what does it say? 5, 7. For we walk by what? We walk by what?
Faith.
We walk by what?
Faith.
How do we walk?
By faith.
We walk by?
Faith.
By what?
Faith.
By what?
Faith.
How do we walk?
By faith.
How do you walk?
By faith.
How do you walk?
By faith.
Walk means we're progressing. Walking means we're progressing, right? God wants us to grow in grace. Amen? Grow in grace. Hold up your Bible this morning. Let's say it like we mean it. Say it with Pastor today. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I can do. Today, I boldly confess, my mind is clear, my heart is open to receive God's word, and I will never be the same, never, never the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Why don't you turn to somebody this morning and say, I'm walking by faith today. How about you? Amen. Praise God. God is good. So if you're a guest today, you'll be so glad to know that I only teach for about 3 hours, and then we just go in, So you'll find that's not always true. Amen. God is faithful. He's good. So I love him this morning. You know, one of the challenges we have as earth people, and we are earth people in an earth suit. We have an earth suit, right? We have an earth suit. We're earth people. And we live in this earth. We live in this environment. God dressed us in this suit so we can inhabit this environment that we're living in. We have a soul, our mind, will, and emotions are part of that soul. Some people call it your personality. And then we have a spirit. Our spirit is that part that God deals with us. The spirit is that part that is, when we believe, just comes alive within us. In fact, the Bible says, just as Jesus is, so are you. And that is in your spirit. In your spirit, you're just like Jesus. In your soul realm, you are transforming to be like Jesus. Amen? And so many times our biggest challenge is walking in the Spirit and not in our carnal thinking or in our carnal mind. God wants us to be walking in His Spirit, in the Spirit of grace, and not walking in our carnal mind, our carnal thoughts, our carnal emotions, but that we walk in the Spirit. When we're walking in the Spirit, we're always walking in victory. When we're walking in the Spirit, we're always walking in victory. And we have a challenge because we're living in this earth suit that this body, the Bible says, on the outside we're decaying, but on the inside we're being renewed what?
Day by day.
Every day we're being renewed, amen? Or you should be being renewed. The challenge is to be renewed. And how are we renewed? We're renewed in our thinking. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Tells us that we change our mind, we renew our mind, and we renew our mind to what God's Word says about us in His Word. So we don't live by our emotions. Turn to somebody and say, don't live by your emotions. You know, your emotions will take you all over the place. They will just take you all over the place. And one of the signs, I believe, of a mature Christian is they've learned to capture their emotions. And they live out of the Spirit life, out of the grace life, amen? And living out of the grace life is much better than living out of our emotions and walking in this faith that God has provided for us. Because, you know, we are emotional people, and I'm an emotional person, and I have to capture myself and bring it back in to what God's Word says about me, that I'm victorious, that I have peace. None of you deal with this, huh? I'm the only one, right? You never get the spirit of slap. Well, you guys are really mature people. Amen. So no one ever cut you off in traffic and you gave them a sign of the cross, right? Amen. Because we're emotional people. You know, we're passionate about things. We're passionate about different areas of our lives. And God just desires that we understand that we can walk in this life in total peace and security in Him. God wants us walking in that peace and that security that we have in His love and in His grace. Amen? Most churches stay busy giving people rules and regulations to follow. But you know, when they get saved, and the most important thing that you can understand and have is to fall in love with Jesus. Not only to fall in love with Jesus, but to know how much He is in love with you. But so many churches, they have all the rules and regulations, and people's emotions get involved in all that. That's when I'm so glad we're a grace church here. Preaching God's unconditional love is grace, amen? So many issues that people struggle with are the same ones that God's already dealt with. You know, God's already dealt with so many things. That's why we can be, He's dealt with everything. That's why He said it is finished. That's why you can be at peace. Your healing is already provided for. Hallelujah. Stop struggling. It's already taken care of, already done. Amen. Your prosperity, you're already prosperous. It's already done, already taken care of. God is taking care of it. Turn to somebody and say, stop struggling. Amen. Start focusing on Jesus. Religion wants you to focus on what you got to do, and Jesus wants you to focus on what He's done. Amen. Stop focusing on what I've got to do to fix it and realize God has already got it and it's done. Hallelujah. Man. Wow. It's impossible for the Christian to live on their own without the Holy Spirit as being a part of their life. He is a part of your life. He brings grace to our life. Amen? We cannot live a sinless life through self-discipline. You cannot live a sinless life through self-discipline. Amen? You'll be deluded if you think you can. You can't do it. Amen? And the church is not a collection of perfect people. Turn to somebody and say amen to that. Woo! Aren't you glad? I am not a perfect pastor. Takes pressure right off me. And you know what? You've got to extend grace to others the way you want to receive it. We want all of God's grace, but God says give it out to others. Perfect people make me nervous. Amen? There is no perfect person except Jesus Christ. Amen? So when we want to change for the better, amen, but cannot do it by ourselves, we have got to have the Spirit of grace operating in our lives. Y'all hear what I'm saying? You can't do it by yourself. How do you do it? You do it by the Spirit of grace operating in your life. The Spirit of grace can change anything in your life that you're struggling with. When you receive God's grace into your life, it can change anything. Grace is Jesus Christ Himself. You say, Pastor, you preach a lot on grace. Why? Because He is Jesus. Grace is Jesus. Amen. Grace is what enriches our life. Look at 1 John 4:17. Look what he said. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld the glory of His only begotten Son, full of what? Full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but what came through Jesus Christ? Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Amen. This is referring to Jesus. Grace is not a curriculum. We have Charis, Bible College, but grace is not a curriculum. It can be taught, but grace is not a curriculum. Grace is not a set of principles. Grace is Jesus Christ. It's a person. That's who grace is. Amen? Look at Romans 6:14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for we're not under law, but we're under what? Under grace. If sin dominates our lives, it's because we're trying to conduct ourselves and govern ourselves by the law of Moses instead of by grace. Thank you for your enthusiasm on that point. So if you're a believer and you're under grace, if we do not believe this, Our mindset places us back under the law, and our belief determines what we are and how we act. But being under grace, sin doesn't have dominion over us. It has freed us from sin and from the law of sin. Are you listening to what I'm saying this morning? Look at Romans 5:20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, that where sin abound, grace does what? Much more abound. If the devil could increase his trespasses in your life or make you sin, how would he do it? How would he do it? The Bible says where sin abound, grace does what? Much more abound. The law is designed to increase sin, therefore this will eventually cause us to sin. Wherever the law is preached, the enemy can use that to throw condemnation on people and cause them to sin. Y'all ain't hear what I'm saying this morning? Wow. The devil, his job is trying to get you to keep the law instead of walking grace. Because when you try to keep the law, you can't. And you fail every time. Amen. Look at Romans 5:20 under the Amplified. We're going to put this up this morning. Put up the Amplified, guys. Can you do that? Romans 5:20. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going somewhere. Stay with me this morning. But then the law came in only to expand and increase the trespass, making it more apparent and exciting opposition. But where sin increased and abounded, what happened? Grace, God's unmerited favor, has surpassed it and increased more and superabound. Wow, grace superabounds in our life. And the enemy's always trying to bring you under condemnation instead of bring you under the freedom of God's grace and God's liberty. Hallelujah. Sin will never be greater than grace. Sin will never be greater than grace. Amen. We do not need to be so concerned about sin when we focus on grace. Because when you focus on grace, you'll do more good accidentally than you were before just trying. Hallelujah. So we walk in this area of God's grace, God's unconditional love, and we're freed from that. The sacrifice of Jesus' body and the blood for sin must never be cheapened. Never be cheapened. Hebrews 10:29. Oh, thank you, Lord. Hebrews 10:29. How much worse, sterner, and heavier punishment do you suppose he will be judged or deserve who has spurned and thus trampled underfoot the Son of God, and who has considered the covenant blood by which he was consecrated common and unhallowed, thus profaning it and insulting and outraging the Holy Spirit who imparts what? Grace, the unmerited favor and blessings of God. Amen. Wow, Jesus' blood and body was the only sin sacrifice that we'd ever need for deliverance. How many believe that this morning? The only sin sacrifice we ever need for deliverance, amen? And people trample underfoot what God has did when they do not believe that Jesus' blood took care of it all. Took care of it all. Everything has been taken care of. All your sin has been taken care of by the blood of Jesus. So we can't live in this life without that spirit of grace being imparted into our lives. It makes us victorious. All sin is the same, regardless of whether we think it's big or small. You know, most times we think, man, that's a big sin. That's a big thing. That's, you know, I've done it. All to him that knoweth to doeth good, the Bible says, and doeth it not, to him it is what? Sin. Wow. There's no big and little sin in God's eyes, but I want to tell you, Jesus' blood took care of it all. It took care of every sin and removed it as far as the east is from the west. And when we're under grace, we will not want to keep sinning. What? I said, when we're under grace, we do not want to keep on, we will not have a desire to sin. Why? Because you know how good God is in your life? You know how good he's been to you? You know his love, you experience his grace, and you've been freed from the law of condemnation and death? Hallelujah. You walk in your freedom, and you'll realize, wow, God, thank you, amen, for your goodness in my life. If you're a believer today, you shouldn't be having a desire to sin. If you are, you're still living under the law, not under grace. Oh, turn to somebody and say, he's really preaching to you right now. Amen. So what happens? When we're under grace, we don't want to keep on sinning. The Spirit of grace teaches us that we deny ungodliness. We deny it. That's what the Spirit of grace teaches us. How many know that this morning? We deny it. We don't even address it. We deny it. Let's go over to Titus, if we will. Titus chapter 2 and verse 11. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. Look at this. Praise God. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to what? To a few? To just some special? No, to all men. What does it do? Next verse. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and unworldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly. Where? In this present age. Grace is a great teacher. It teaches us that we can rise above these things and not succumb to them. God wants you to be rising above and not going under. Grace always brings you above and not under. Hallelujah. Man, that is awesome. Amen. The Holy Spirit is there to restore our brokenness. He stays with us in our brokenness. Amen. And makes us a masterpiece out of that brokenness. He is so good. No matter where you've been or what's going on in your life or brokenness you may experience, when grace comes in, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of grace restores that and makes it brand new. You're a masterpiece in God's eyes. The Bible says the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy, but he's come to give you life and give it to you how? More abundantly. Amen? Wow. Listen, even when we are not committed to God, God remains committed to you. God is always there. The Bible says even when we are faithless, God is still faithful wherever you are today. He loves you that much. He cares for you that much. Amen? Wow. Look at Hebrews 13:5. Hebrews 13:5. Put it up in the Amplified, guys. Praise God. Got a lot of word for you today. Praise the Lord. Let your character of moral disposition be free from the love of money, including greed, arrogance, lust, and craving earthly possessions, and be satisfied with your present circumstances and with what you have. For he, God himself, has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not in any way decree leave you helpless, nor forsake, nor let you down. Relax my hold on you. Assuredly not. Wow, that's what God says about you. That's why you can have the confidence in his grace to live above these things and not under these things. That's why you know that you're favored by God. God's favor's on you, and you can walk in that favor. You can be in expectation of good and not bad every day of your life. How many's ever been challenged by that? Man, especially on Mondays. Come on, somebody. Oh, God, help me, Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm expecting good today, Lord. I know you're going to bring good in my life, good out of this situation. Good, amen. Look at 1 Corinthians 2, 9, and 10. This is such a great verse. I love this scripture. 1 Corinthians 2, 9, and 10. Amen. The Spirit of grace with us today. The Spirit of grace living in our life. The Spirit of favor upon my life today. The Spirit of favor upon my family today. The Spirit of favor upon my finances today. The Spirit of favor on my health today. Hallelujah. Amen. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Most people stop there. Period. That's it. Well, we don't know what God has for us. Man, religion has taught us some bad things. We don't know what's out there in store for us. We don't know what, you know. That's a lie. Look at the rest of the scripture, guys. But God hath revealed them unto us, how? By his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. When God has prepared us for us things we can never know about if we are living under the law. You will never reach that. You will never know it. The Holy Spirit reveals these things to us through grace and through his favor. Amen? It's not by your five senses, but it's by the Spirit of the Lord that we know these things. It's not by how we feel or about what we're seeing, but it's only by God's Spirit that He reveals those things to us. Man. One of the major works of the Holy Spirit in our life is to remove the veil over our eyes and over our hearts so we can understand God's good plan for our lives. You all didn't even get that. One of the works of the Holy Spirit is that He removes that veil. The veil kept him from going into the Holy of Holies. But Jesus removed the veil, so now we're walking into God's very presence in our spirit. And He says, I've got nothing but good for you. I've got a future for you. I've got good plans for you, plans to give you hope, amen, and a future. God is that good of a God. And when you start understanding that and getting that in your mind and saying, God, you've got nothing but good for me, amen, I'm telling you, no weapon formed against me is going to prosper, God, because you've got good for me, hallelujah. And I see that. And how's it revealed? It's revealed by the Holy Spirit and by the Spirit of grace in our lives. Woo! Turn to somebody and say, God's got good for you. Now you got to start thinking like that. You got to start hearing that. You got to start believing that. You got to get yourself rooted and grounded in God's love. Amen? That you know beyond a shadow of doubt that God's got nothing but good for me, and the outcome is always going to be good, always going to be on my favor, always working on my behalf. Even at the time, it may seem unpleasant, but you stand in there and say, no, it's going to be good because I serve a good God. Hallelujah. Woo! Man, I've been in situations I thought, wow, this doesn't look like, doesn't feel like, doesn't seem like. How in the world is this going to come out? And you know what God said to me? Because of His grace, He says, peace be unto you. Quit struggling and start resting. I've got you. I told Holly this morning, I said, you know, in the light of eternity, none of these things we go through really matter. Hallelujah. You just rest in His grace for you today. You just be at ease, amen? Because when you know how good God is and how He's got you covered today, you can say, Lord, thank you, Lord, I'm a champion today. Amen, I'm victorious today. God, you are good in my life today, amen? Hallelujah. Look at what Galatians 5:18 says. We cannot discern the things of the Spirit if we're still living under the law. What? You cannot discern the things of the Spirit if you're still living under the law. The law will continue to bring condemnation in your life. The Spirit will set you free. Amen? And when you're set free by the Spirit, Jesus said, those that are free are what? Free indeed. It's the Spirit of grace that reveals the goodness of God to our heart. It's the Spirit of grace that takes away the law from our eyes. Amen? It takes away religion from our eyes. Glory to God. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're what? You're no longer under the law. You're no longer under there, amen? But you're under God's grace and God's authority and God's love for you. Wow. The law was elementary. We must reach a level of spiritual maturity in our life to ask God for direction and guidance and allow the Holy Spirit to lead us, amen? The law will always put demands on you, but grace will always put supply on you. The law will always put demands on you. Grace will always put supply on you. Paul said, I labored more than you all in vain, yet not I, but the grace of God in me. Grace is always supplying, the law is always demanding. Grace delivers us from the bondage of the law, and that includes shame. Turn to somebody and say, I'm no longer under shame. Hallelujah. Look at Romans 10:11. Romans 10:11 says, whosoever believeth. How many believers we have here? How many whosoevers do we have? Whosoever believeth shall not be ashamed. You don't have to no longer experience shame in your life. Why? Because you're now under God's grace. No more shame here. Amen? God sees you as nothing but good in His eyes. Amen? Wow. In Jesus' day, anyone during that Jewish time, of course, and even today, if you're a Jew, were trained under the law. Jesus is grace and grace is truth. Knowing Jesus sets us free from the law. Amen? But many churches preach the law instead of preaching Jesus. We want to hear about Jesus. I want you to feed on Jesus. Amen? He is the one that we feed on this morning. Praise God. He's the one that we receive this morning. He's the one that comes into our life and says, everything is good because of me. Amen? Hallelujah. Jesus is the one that we feed on. He is the goodness of God in our lives. Look at Hebrews 9, 27 and 28 this morning. And just as each man is destined to die once, and after that judgment, so also Jesus was offered once for all times as a sacrifice to take away the sins of many people. He will come again not to deal with our sins, but to bring salvation to all who are eagerly awaiting him. Sin is a non-issue in our vertical relationship with God. Sin is a non-issue in our vertical relationship with God. It can hurt others in our horizontal relationship with people, but with God, it is a non-issue. Sin is a central issue in many people's life, but they don't realize that God's already dealt with sin. God is okay with us only because of our belief in Jesus. So what you believe does matter. He is okay with us only because of our belief in Jesus. Look what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10, 23. He says, all things are lawful for me. All things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things do not edify or edify not. Paul said, all things are good, but everything doesn't edify. Folks, in grace we have liberty, but we don't use that liberty to what? We don't allow that liberty to be occasion to the flesh. We walk in our freedom that we have in Jesus Christ. Titus 2:11, we just said that, for grace of God brings salvation and hath appeared to all men and is teaching us. Grace is the greatest teacher as we walk in his grace today. As you walk in that grace, he just reveals things to us. Amen? And when you start looking into that word of God and you start getting a different mindset about God and his goodness of God, all of a sudden that scripture begins to come alive to you. And you start seeing things that have done, they're finished, God has already taken care of it. You start rejoicing in your life, amen, over the little things and say, God, thank you for what you've done. Thank you for your hand on my life. Thank you for your grace in my life. Thank that you're operating in my life. Lord, I give you the praise and I give you the glory today. Grace is what changes you, not your effort. Hello? Not your self-effort. Not some good help book. Not some positive thinking. Grace is what changes you. Amen. God's favor, God's unmerited favor on your life is what changes you. Paul said, you know, should we sin that grace should abound? God forbid. Paul preached so much on grace, he was accused of that. He was accused of that. He was accused of preaching, go ahead and sin, you know. So, hey. And he said, no, should we do that? No, God forbid. Amen. But grace gives you freedom in him today. Stand this morning. Hallelujah. Give God a good hand clap of praise today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Wow. Man, we are freed this morning because of God's grace. We are set free because of God's grace. You're not under law today, you're under grace. Amen. You're not trying to get somewhere. God's already got you there already in your spirit. Be at peace. Turn to somebody and say, be at peace today. Amen. Wow. I want you to raise your hands this morning and say it with pastors. Say, Jesus, thank you for your grace today. Your grace covers me. Your grace, Lord, your grace, Lord, sets me free. Your grace is abounding towards me, multiplying in my life, favor in my life, goodness in my life, your love in my life today. Thank you for your grace. I'm no longer living under the law of bondage, but I'm living under the freedom of God's grace in my life. And it's amazing. It's amazing. It's amazing. Thank you, Lord. I expect good from you every day of my life. I am refreshed in my soul. My soul is changing and lining up with your word. What your word says is who I am. What your word says is what I have. And I thank you for that today because of your grace, your amazing grace. Hallelujah. Give God some praise. Amen. Woo! Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Unmerited, undeserved favor. Praise God. I want a prayer team to come up this morning. Guys, if you would, come up. Praise God. You might be here today. You might need some prayer. You might just need some encouragement. God is here to minister to your heart, to give you encouragement. These folks know how to pray. They know how to release the life of Christ today. You might need healing. Whatever you might need, don't leave this place. We're going to eat in a few minutes. We're going to pray over the food and bless it, and we're going to let you go ahead. And I guess we're getting ready there, ladies. Am I right? Praise the Lord. And but hang around with us. But if you need prayer, I don't want you leaving here today being discouraged, being downhearted. You shouldn't be if you're in grace. But if you just need somebody to agree with you about something, come up and let them pray for you this morning. Father, we thank you right now for our prayer team and for all those that are here this morning, God. We bless this food. We bless this fellowship. Lord, we thank you for this day of your goodness, of your faithfulness, of your love to us today. God, we are thankful for your grace. Lord, as people come up and receive today, may they come in expectation. God, may they come and receive their healing. May they come, God, and receive just, Lord, encouragement today. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. If you'd like to come, come on up, and we'll get you some instructions on what we're doing here in a second. We're coming up for prayer. If you need some prayer, hang out in fellowship. Praise the Lord. God bless you today.